Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Josh Fox. My pronouns are he, him. I will be your keeper.
Hello, I'm Becky Annison. My pronouns are she, her, and I will be playing Gabby the Surge, and her pronouns are also she, her.
And I'm James Torrance. My pronouns are he, him, and I will be playing Azure Wings, the last, whose pronouns are also he, him.
Hi, folks. I'm Nick Bate. My pronouns are he, him. And I'm playing the Viscount Greaves, who is the Shade. His pronouns are also he, him.
Hi, my name's Sue Elliott. My pronouns are she, her. I'll be playing August Nye, the Found, whose pronouns are also she, her.
And today we are here to play Apocalypse Keys by Jamila R. Najadi.
Hello, I'm Josh Fox, editor of the podcast and GM of our Apocalypse Keys game. We're having a great time creating Black Armada Tales, and we hope you're enjoying listening to it. If you like what we're doing, and you'd like other people to hear about it, please consider rating and reviewing the podcast. A 5-star review will make a big difference to whether people are able to find the podcast. We'd also love it if you joined us on Twitter. The podcast account is B Armada Tales. That's letter B, followed by Armada Tales. We'd love to hear what you think of the podcast. Or you see through Jolene's eyes, perhaps. So you can see her hands, you recognise her black nail varnish that she always wears. And you hear her voice saying, no, Billings. Oh, Billings. What happened to you? And then you hear footsteps nearby. And she looks up and sees August. But it isn't August, or if it is August, something's gone very weird with August, because August looks deeply unpleasant. I'm going to say some things about August now, and Sue, I want you to intervene if I describe anything about August that sounds wrong. The nervousness and introversion is gone. She looks almost like very relaxed and almost arrogant as she saunters up to Jolene and cups her chin and says, Jolene, how nice that we found you. I need you to open up the psychotron for me now. I need you to give me the key. And if you don't worry, because I can just rip it from your pretty little head. And I'm just going to end the vision there. You realise, while you've been having this vision, that Greaves, followed by Gabby and August, are now some way ahead of you in finding, well, in following Greaves' magical lodestone thing. And in fact, I'm going to cut over to them now.
I was going to say, you realise that at no point in that evil description of evilness did Sue go, I don't think that Greaves would have done that. Just sitting there nodding, going, yep.
That's just right.
That's right. Yep.
Mm. That sounds fine to me.
Yep, just ticking things off a list in my head.
Lols. Yeah, so Greaves, your lodestone, your psychic lodestone, leads you to a door with a code lock on it. And the door says, gamma clearance only, strictly no access for lower ranked staff.
And we're all lower ranked by definition, by dint of being monsters, right?
You do not have gamma clearance. You wouldn't necessarily know if anyone else had gamma clearance, because it's the sort of thing that's kept secret. So there's probably a moment where you maybe look at the others to check whether they maybe have gamma clearance.
A lot of head shaking.
Although Danforth's not there, so.
Okay, I need to go through that door. I think I'll turn to Gabby and I'll say, Gabby, we need to go through that door.
Right. So this is an electronic keypad, Josh?
No, it's not electronic. It's one of those, like, push button ones with the little handle. You know the kind I mean?
I do.
Presumably it's mechanical. I don't know how those things work underneath the...
I'm just wondering something. I took a new division move a little while ago.
Everybody's just rocking out their division moves all of a sudden.
It's called Ghostly Agent. Division has a high mortality rate. The average agent survives only a few months on the job. Some of them love the work so much, they continue to work the division even unto death. When you take this move, answer one of the following questions. But we never really answered it.
Okay.
Questions, but I can call upon the ghostly agent for help.
Okay. Well, should we answer the questions now and then you can get on and do it?
Yes. I'm wondering if what they can tell is actually, what they can do is actually useful, though. So can I just check that first before I... The walk the veil between the living and the dead. So I can take their hand and physically travel through the veil, mark a condition.
Well, that doesn't sound at all handy right at this moment.
No, I can ask them what they've seen through the veil and then cover a key at great cost. I can whisper into their ear and reveal a secret and gain a bond with them. I can tell them how I've worked towards attending to their unfinished business. None of that sounds really useful, does it? I was hoping that it might be something like they give you some information, like what the clearance code is.
I mean, I think they can take you through the door. That's what the first one.
No, I don't think so. Like, the first one's about the barrier between the living and the dead, not the barrier between this room and the next room. You are looking for a member of your team who you think might be dead, so it seems like it could come in handy very, very soon.
No, yeah.
I don't know that.
I'm just mentioning it. I'm not saying you could use it right now.
Put that on the back burner then, until then. And so I'll say, what do you want me to do, Grease?
Unmake it. Tear the door down, Gabby.
But the last time I did that, I hurt August. And I know that she's fine now, but...
Grease is going to turn to Gabby and say low and very intensely, Gabby, I need you to do this for August.
Okay, hang on a second. You might be triggering one of my things. I need to find it. If I ask someone else to use my power as they see fit, I can gain darkness tokens. So I will say to you, I find the phrasing of this really hard. How do I ask you to use it as you see fit? Any ideas?
It's funny, isn't it? Because I'm asking you to use it. I jumped the gun on you.
I know, and I want you to.
I can't.
I'm going to ask you to ask me.
Do you think you're asking him to take on your power or to tell you what to do?
I don't know what counts for triggering the thing.
What's your trigger? So you decide.
Okay, well, I think what I'm asking him to do, it's like normally I'm like totally unleashing of my powers. And I think what I'm asking here is that if he wants me to use my powers, then he has to forensically direct what I do with them.
Okay, well, then I can imagine... Like, if you're scared that you're going to go too far,
yeah.
Then...
Again.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think Grease would be all for that.
So then I think she'll say, I can do it, but only if you have to give me really precise instructions. This place, it all gets a bit out of hand when I use that power.
Okay, I think Grease will nod and take a slight step away from the door and kind of gesture at the point directly in front of the lock, like at the ground.
Right. Okay, well, I guess I'm going to use my power then.
And I think when you step forward to that point, Greaves probably rests both of his hands on your shoulders.
I think August is taking quite a few steps backwards at this point.
Do you think that doing this is a stretching use of your powers, Gabby?
No, it's quite small. I mean, I'm just unmaking it. But if I do stretch...
Is that the problem,
powers,
though? Is the problem,
yeah, maybe
that it's
that's
small?
The problem. It's that I have to do something which is really tightly constrained and isn't just like...
So you think that's hard for you to use your powers in a tightly constrained way? Or is it just that Gabby is afraid that she can't do it?
I think it's that Gabby's afraid that she won't do it.
I'm sorry if I sound a bit sort of pedantic in repeating myself. I just want to be clear on whether that fear is well-founded. Does Gabby actually have enough control over her power that she can destroy a door without destroying everything around it? Or is your power actually so hard to control that those fears are justified?
No, I think that she can control it, but I think that a lot of the time she subconsciously chooses not to. So like all the times where I, as Becky, the player, have made the choice to push it, my power is never leashed, use my extra, my power is never leashed move and all of that stuff. I think that's because Gabby quite enjoys it and subconsciously, secretly likes letting go and kind of uses the fact that her power isn't really very well controlled as a bit of an excuse. I mean, like, I don't think the kind of the character that I have, I don't think the way the playbook is written is that you have, like, that you are necessarily always in control. But, I mean, the dice can always go against you. But I can choose to push it way out of control for extra benefits. And I have been deliberately doing that over the course of the game because, you know, it's fun. Probably Gabby feels something similar on some level, but not that she'd admit it in public.
All right. So in that case, instead of doing any rolls concerned with your power, I think you should maybe roll to reveal your heart for what you were just, the interaction you just had with Greaves.
Yeah, I like that better. That's nice.
Then you fuck it up and the whole building disintegrates.
I will choose to spend 2 darkness tokens. Five, six, seven.
Bond.
Lol. Do I have any bonds with anybody right now? I'm not sure that I do.
She had a conversation with your ghostly friend before.
I have a bond with my ghostly friend. No, I've got no bonds. I've spent them too liberally and I haven't got any more back. I haven't even got a bond with the darkness anymore.
I'll read. So, yeah, so you disintegrate the door. Maybe you are a bit nervous and your fear kind of interferes a little bit, but there's a kind of, it's almost a moment of resistance where the door doesn't seem to want to disintegrate and you kind of frown and push a little bit harder and then the door just blows off its hinges and blows away like so much dried leaves into a big spherical chamber in the middle of which is a dark seemingly glass sphere which is throbbing gently. Greaves, your jar is like pointing directly at that sphere. But between you and the sphere is August. Yeah. Now there's definitely 2 Augusts physically in this space now. Because the August you've been walking around with is right there behind you and probably can see this August. The August that you see in front of you is the same as the August that Azure Wings just perceived in his vision. A insouciant, arrogant August who grins lopsidedly at you as she grips onto the limp body of Jolene Danforth.
So I think this is the moment where, you know, I've completed my vision and I've let Danforth's body drop and phased out of his forehead and moved at super speed and just now caught up with you to say, there's a false August! And, you know, looking momentarily at the August that's with us. And then, you know, after a beat, turning to see the door that you've just blown open and going, ah, yes, that one.
Just for clarity's sake, my jar is telling me, is pointing at the heart, at the beating glass sphere, not at the August that is the new August.
The one with the beard.
Yeah, the goatee August, yeah.
Can you tell? Yeah, no, it's pointing at the sphere. I'm not going to be cruel and leave it ambiguous. There is something else in the room as well. You can't quite see what it is. It's in the shadows behind the sphere. And Mean August, which is what I'm going to call her for clarity. Mean August says, "Oh, Azure Wings, I sensed your presence just now, spying on me. It's a shame your super speed never seems to be quite enough, does it?"
So how is she physically holding Jolene's limp body or...
Yeah. So let's give you a bit more detail on Jolene. Jolene does not look well. She's wearing her black power suit that the invokers like to wear. but her hair is a mess. And she has streaks of blood coming, that they're dried, but you can see that she has had, she must have bled out of her eyes, out of her nose and her ears. There's streaks of blood coming down from all of those parts of her. And her eyes look bloodshot and vacant, and her body looks limp. She is on her knees, and you kind of get the sense that she's not really all there. And yeah, August is holding her by the shoulder slash neck, but it doesn't look like she's physically holding her up. More like her hand is just there as a kind of a guide. What do you do?
I think I might just super speed in and rugby tackle her away from... rugby tackle Mean August away from Jolene.
Okay. Looks like Greaves also wants to do something, maybe?
Well, I did have a thought, but I think actually, as your wings might be faster than I am... Well, I mean, is faster than I am, no question. And that changes the situation, I think. So... Carry on, I guess is what I'm saying.
You know, I feel that I owe Jolene one, or indeed several, so, you know.
But are you going for August or for Jolene?
August.
So you're rugby tackling August, sorry, Mean August, away
Mean
from...
August, backwards away, you know, smacking in and, yeah, just grabbing her with all my indeterminate number of limbs to snatch her backwards from...
Cool. Well, then you're definitely making quite a specific move there, aren't you? And that move is Unleash the Dark.
I really should have made some dramatic remarks first to charge up on darkness tokens. But there we go. Roll plus a zero. Come on. Oh, it's a 10.
Yeah.
Thank you, dice. So, I'm wielding the darkness with control and ease. So, I think I want to get what I want from them, or... So, my priority, obviously, is to buy some safety for Jolene, which is either get what you want for them, or gain the upper hand for now?
I don't mind which it is, this is fine. As long as we're clear that what you mean is get Mean August away from Jolene, that's fine, we can choose that as an option. That's one.
And it's boring, but physically plausible that I'm just going to inflict a condition by, you know, physically pinballing into them.
So that, is that all that you get? Two things, right?
I get two things, so I'm not avoiding reprisals, harm or cost.
I'm so used to Gabby with her, like, a million bonus options that I'm not actually sure how this move works.
Yeah, I do... Oh, no, I do, yes. When you choose to unleash the dark, you may describe how your form changes through violence and beauty, causing those around you to despair. When you do, you may choose from the following options, even on a miss.
So is this a bonus option, or an instead of?
Pretty sure it's... Oh, actually, that's a good point. Yeah, I think it's an instead of, so I can use that instead of the inflicted condition, which is a bit boring. So, yeah, my form changes through violence and beauty, so obviously, you know... We've got like a sort of fast attack mode. So, you know, my wings shift through a higher dimension into... So this is you know, different to the mere static combat mode into, you know, delta wing form with like lots of weird hooks and, you know, red go faster stripe dapple patterns and the limbs shift into sort of, you know, great curved hooks for... grabbing and grappling as they move through that higher dimensional space. And yeah, that is the form in which I shoot forward across the room. So instead of inflicting a condition, I think the option I like most is I see into their soul and declare what I find. No, that's boring. No. Oh, in that case, I'll gain their fear and loathing.
Cool. So, blur of motion, sudden expansion of wings and hooks and shit. Mean August goes flying across the room, and Jolene is left still sort of half standing on her knees, vacant expression, and a massive spindly form heaves out of the shadows behind the sphere. It's constructed out of cables and ducts and... pipes it is inhuman looking, and yet it is kind of humanoid. Long limbs, sleek, scary looking head, filled with teeth made out of taps and fan blades. It hunches forward as it stalks towards the three of you standing by the door and lashes out. Greaves, you're probably first, aren't you?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. It lashes out at you with long fan blade claws and rips into your diving suit, sending you sprawling. Mark a condition?
I will, and the good slash bad news is that means I've marked all of my conditions, and so now hit my breaking point.
Yay! What does that mean?
Well, your delusion shatters, and you are forced to look at the painful state of your hollow soul. Death has left its mark on you, and you are a twisted and miserable thing that yearns for mutual destruction. There is no going back for you, there is only the inconceivable void of this pitiful existence. Describe how the void in your soul pulls out and weakens the life force of everyone and everything around you, hurting the innocent and the weak. The Keeper will tell you how death gains more power through you, and how something beautiful in the world dies as a result.
Big move.
So, describe how the void in my soul pulls out and weakens the life force of everyone and everything around you. So, this thing has slashed at the diving suit that I'm in, yeah. Right? And that's, yeah. So I think gas in my suit that kind of swirls around in the diving bell suit just starts pouring out of the suit, kind of in great gushing waves, pouring out to fill up the room that we're in, kind of ridiculously fast. And so everything switches into that underwater color scheme. I mean essentially drowning people, I think. And I think the sound of that kind of sounds part like gushing water and part like a kind of long drawn out wail of despair, I think.
Right. And what do I have to do? I have to tell you something awful.
You're going to tell me how death gains more power through me and how something beautiful in the world dies as a result.
My internet connection is going a bit shonky, but I did catch that. So, here's what happens. The gas pours out. Everyone can feel this as your wings, even in your kind of ephemeral, only semi-physical form. And you can see mean August to kind of being choked almost at a sort of psychic level, and a note of panic in her eyes for a moment. And then, as your wings, you sense Jolene. She makes psychic contact with you once more. And you see her in your mind. You see her as she was. The sort of perfectly presented and controlled invoker agent. But you can also sense that something is wrong, and that something has been hollowed out of her even before this moment. Something's been taken from her. And she makes a little choking noise and then sort of evaporates before your eyes. And in the physical world, the rest of you will see Jolene. The gas sort of envelops her. And the rest of you are breathing hard, trying to clear the gas from your bodies, from your lungs. But Jolene just sits there in this pall of fog. It will only become apparent later that she is dead.
Nicely done, but also awful. But it was the only possible story choice to make there.
I think I better inflict another condition on myself. Someone just died inside my mind.
Oh, God.
That's fair. Always very cheery when that happens.
I might take some darkness tokens for that.
This, incidentally, at the end of the scene, will result in me filling up my ruin track again.
Yay!
Woohoo! So is that your whole breaking point move? Is that now done, or...?
Yeah, so at the end of the scene, I'll clear all conditions and mark ruin once.
Okay. So you're still kind of in breaking point for now, and therefore presumably immune to further conditions?
Yeah, not in an acting mood so much as a despairing at the twisted and miserable thing I've become.
Cool. Well, I guess physically, Greaves is knocked off his feet, and the thing, the spindly pipe monster, lurches towards his body, looming over his prone form with its big blade claws ready to rip him apart.
I think August runs forward towards Greaves and looks over at August. I think she looks up at the monster and then across at August and says, What have you done? What are you doing?
You're saying that to mean August?
Yes.
Okay.
I think her thinking is that August is somehow in control of this monster.
Mean August gets to her feet. She looks shaken, pale, and you can see... Nobody else would notice this, but you notice it, because it's you. Her hand trembling slightly as she holds up one hand in what is otherwise an imperious gesture. And from behind her, as your wings lurches forward like a puppet on a string, you should have taken avoid consequence or cost.
But it's so much more fun not to.
And she says, I am claiming what is mine. You have always hidden in the shadows, like a quivering, frightened little thing, letting others take the risks, shrinking away from danger and from your own true fate. But I have always been there, watching through your eyes, wanting to unleash my power. And now I can. And there's nothing you can do about it. And she giggles a little bit and then stretches out her hands. And as your wings and the monster seem to move simultaneously forward. Thank you for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Apocalypse Keys by Jamila R. Najadi. You can find out more about Apocalypse Keys at evilhat.com/home/apocalypse-keys. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast and join us on Twitter, where we are BArmadaTales. If you're struggling to find a pen to write all that down, you can find that information and more in the show notes. See you next time.
Quite like the new August.
Yeah, let's keep this one.
You should segue into that, Sue.
I think I need the old August.
Good session, everybody.
Mm. Good to be back.
Yeah.
Are we back
on Monday? Am I right about that?
Yes, but I thought that Monday is the whole...
The chat.
What are we playing next, chat?
The chat, where we talk about what we might play next.
I think I might prefer to roll straight into another session, if anybody
I'm
else...
I'm very happy to.
I feel like we've got some momentum, and this is quite exciting.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. I don't really have a sense of... doesn't feel like we're close to finishing anything... I mean,
it depends how much punishment we decide we want to keep taking before we just throw a theory at the wall.
Yeah.
Deal with the consequences.
Roll the dice. Just be like,
yeah. We just need one more key. Surely one of you can reach out and get one more key.
It's actually just on the verge. But...
One of you just reaches forward and grabs the top of Mean August's head, lifts it up, and says, "It was Mr. Wilson all along."
It's Billings all along.
Yeah, Billings all along.
Mr. Billings.
We should probably very quickly do like XP and stuff, shouldn't we?
Good idea. Yep.
I'm guessing I can only speak for good August when discussing XP.
6 XP. I did the good things and the bad things.
Is it good August or is it nice August? I feel like there's nice August and mean August.
Yeah, nice is definitely a better descriptor, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right. You don't get to claim XP for things that mean August are just as fun as that would be. Mean August has her own XP track.
Is there value in me reading out the XP triggers?
I always like people to read stuff out. Yeah, why not?
It was the best of times. So, did you express your monstrous nature and or express your humanity? If yes, mark one XP. I think we've established I am a monster.
I'm going to take one for my humanity, actually, because I was concerned about blasting. I was concerned about losing control of my powers. That is not what I needed to be concerned about, it turns out.
The next is, did you learn something significant about yourself and or your impending ruin? If yes, mark one XP.
I think, August, you maybe can mark stuff for learning stuff about yourself in relation to me, August, if you want to.
Yeah, I think that's very true.
Yeah, especially when they're pontificating in front of me.
It depends whether you feel that mean August represents something about August.
Yeah, definitely. It's quite interesting because I was trying to think of a way to introduce a bad August, but then I was like, that's too many Augusts. Then that's just. Can't do that to the group.
Never have too many Augusts.
So we got good August, bad August, dead August, who's probably different to bad August. And we've established that there's a mirror dimension, that everyone has their counterpart in the mirror dimension, or at least they did 65 million years ago. So that makes 6 Augusts.
Because each of them has a mirror counterpart.
Logically.
Mirror bad, mirror good.
How do you know none of these are mirror counterparts?
Well,
right. There might not be that many Augusts. We've got different... This is like, particle supersymmetry or something. different models out there.
I was just thinking...
By that rationale, the question, did you learn something significant about a fellow monster? I think we all learned something significant about August.
What do you think you learned?
I think I learned that... If August didn't have a healthy dose of anxiety, then she'd be an absolute monster. The only thing that is saving us all from August is the fact that she doesn't have enough self-belief.
I think that's a fair point.
But if she ever gained that belief in herself, she would rule the universe.
That's why August's not allowed to go to therapy.
Yeah. She would become like, what is it, terrible as the dawn.
Yes. She did ask for therapy once, and she got a letter back from division management saying, here is a tension sheet. Use it if you feel anxious.
Which I think brings us to the last one, right? Did you uncover at least one key or attempt to unlock the door? If no, mark one ruin. So that's one ruin for everyone except Becky, Gabby.
Yep. Come on, people. We do need keys.
Where's our doomsday clock at?
3.
I don't want to know.
I'm going to read the next doomsday move because I'm confident I'm going to get to mark it off. The rate you're going, it can only be a matter of half a scene, maybe.
One dice roll.
Ooh, it looks very interesting. I feel weird about those moves. They feel like they should generate keys. It's strange that some things that are clearly highly relevant to the plot don't generate keys and others do. But I guess all it means is, like, it's not like you can just ignore that stuff, right? It's still part of the fiction, so you have to, on some level, think about what it means. It just means you don't get the mechanical bonus to your roll off the back of it.
We have to think about what it means, but if it doesn't have to be central to our... Like, it's not a key, we don't have to explain it.
No, but you
don't
do
want to be inconsistent with...
You can't contradict it, but, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a subtle point. That's true. It's a bit like same as Lovecraft-esque. If you've got a clue, whatever's defined as the clue has to be worked into the theory. Everything else just has to not be inconsistent with it.
I confess that I have not remotely attempted to theorise about these clues. I think we need to set aside at least two or three sessions just for going, right, guys, we've got a sufficient number of clues now.
I actually think there are enough. I think there's a bit of a thread in the clues that we've got so far. There's a gaping hole, which is, who the heck is it? Who's the Harbinger? I mean, I think the obvious answer is August is the Harbinger.
Which one?
Yeah, I think it is.
I mean, just statistically speaking, right? There's six of them.
Just throw a dart and it's going to hit an August.
Now, if our Augusts, this is probably going too far, but if our Augusts are quarks, that means we've got an up August, a down August, a top August, a bottom August, a strange August, and a charm August. Which one's our August?
Your knowledge of quantum mechanics is clearly superior to mine.
I just think it's funny that we go up, down, top, bottom, and then we run out of ideas, so we call them strange and charm.
Yeah, what happened to left and right, guys? It'd be left, that right.
They're just totally arbitrary labels.
In, out.
Like, they could have called them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Clearly invented by a gamer. We should just be lucky that quarks aren't labelled dex quark, strength quark, wisdom quark, charisma quark.
Or lawful chaos.
Yeah.